Shit, shit, shit sandwich.
What the fuck is your problem?
Shut up, you freak!
Thanks, I needed that.
Welcome to the real world.
Our department.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed.
You are the leading asshole in the state.
Bitch, please.
Pass the duchy, my friends.
Remember, a Jedi can feel the Force flowing through him.
What were you doing when the lights went out?
Birdie, num-num.
Lynch me for what my people have done to your people.
Oh, durka-durka-durka.
It's a madhouse! A madhouse!
Warning, if you want your asses blown out, stay in the room.
Hello, and welcome to Dave and Shecky's Groovy Boob Tube Review. I am Dave.
And I'm Shecky, and in our podcast, what we like to do is review movies that are readily available to the masses, meaning you can watch them in your living room. Anything we want to talk about prior to getting to the movie? Anything, please?
Anyone?
Anyone? Oscars are tonight. We should have maybe done the show post-Oscar, but...
Oscar... It's a pleasure to know you.
I gotta say, because they dissed George Lucas and Star Wars and Serenity, I didn't see Joss Whedon and his script get a nom. I'm kind of like, I don't even think we're going to watch. I don't know if I'm going to watch.
The Academy doesn't take seriously the sci-fi genre.
Yeah, we'll tell that to Peter Jackson in Lord of the Rings.
It was an exception.
Yeah, well, it shouldn't have been. It shouldn't have been an exception.
That was a mercy. That was a sympathy vote.
You know what's a sympathy vote?
He's like a very messy looking man.
You know what's a sympathy vote? It's like King Kong got nominated for an award for something.
King Kong.
Ugh.
I had nothing to say. I can't even think of anything to say.
We didn't see it.
All I can say to that is,
We may review it when it comes on the pay-per-view, but Dave is not going to be able to sit in a movie theater for 3 hours to see a movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you ever see the old...
That's a rough one.
The Gone with the Wind movie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You've seen it, and halfway through, they have an intermission. They literally have an intermission. Things go down, they fade to black, something comes up, and it's an intermission for, three, four minutes.
I can use that. I need that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Why don't they have that these days? Build a little tension and have people able to go to the bathroom or, get more popcorn or something. I think it would help the industry.
I hear that. I guess, now that you have the TiVo, you can make your own intermission. But that's not what they intend you to do, so it breaks the continuity of the film.
I'm talking in the theater, Dave.
Oh, no one goes to theaters anymore. This is the 25th century.
Well, we're going to the theaters this week.
That's true.
Because I'm dying to see V is for Vendetta.
She's got a Salvador Dali thing.
It's really creepy looking, right? But Natalie Portman's in there, and I will support basically anything she's in.
Natalie Portman. True.
So you
true
want to,
is what we've just said. Speaking of which,
yeah.
And furthermore, Your Honor, on the night in question.
So anyway, I guess we've got to get to it. This week's movie was
Hustle and Flow.
Yuck.
Hustle and Flow.
Was it your week to pick?
It was my week to pick, and I was really, really into the prospect of Hustle and Flow.
Well, I wasn't. I wasn't into it at all.
I thought it would be happening.
Well, you know what?
I thought Crash would be happening.
Well, that was the thing. The first strike against it was that Oprah was touting it.
Oy vey, I didn't know.
Oprah, oh my God. Oprah was touting it, and so...
I had no idea.
When Oprah touts something, you pretty much know it's
yeah.
Shit sandwich.
Oprah is basically off her fucking rockers. That woman has a... What is up with her?
Don't get me wrong.
Don't get me started.
No, but I love that she helps people, and she's helping the Katrina victims, and she's building houses. I think that's admirable, and I think we all should be doing stuff to help those people. But when she starts, trying to tell me what movies are good and what actors are good, and she's having her little wacky pre-Oscar shows, it's like a strike against these movies. Like every movie she's talked about and said how fabulous they are. It's just, you know, I mean, she's somebody who loves John Travolta and Tom Cruise. So I can't take any of her Hollywood picks seriously.
She's a goddamn human airbrush.
Oh God, the lighting. It's, you know, it's the lighting and it's the filter on that show. It's insane. But anyway, I gotta say, so I,
you know, if,
what
if Oprah was to, I mean, if people didn't know Oprah and she was trying to get onto her set and she wasn't in makeup, they'd probably arrest her.
She does, yeah. It's, you know, it's like, that's how far, like, lighting and camera filters have gone. I mean, Oprah does not look like Oprah. I mean, even if you look, if you compare her television show, the way she looks on her television show, to how she looks on the cover of her magazine, completely, yeah. And there she's heavily airbrushed.
Yeah, she's pretty generic.
Well, but aren't we all generic? And I mean, I guess through, if we all had magic people with magic fingers and makeup brushes and filters,
all I can tell you,
we'd all look spectacular.
Without all that makeup, I guess she just wouldn't be as accepted as she is. That's the sad statement.
Yeah, but she wasn't always all this filtering magic.
She has no fashion sense.
Well, she has a stylist now.
Good.
I mean, all you have to do is watch some clips from her 20-year DVD and see, like, the first, I don't know, 15 years. And, yeah, her makeup's horrible. Her clothes are horrible. Her hair is a mess.
Insane.
But, you know, still, she was still building this empire. So, I mean, I don't know why she goes through all of this crap these days to look like she does on the television show, which is pretty much nothing like she really looks.
I hear that. And just final thing on Oprah, how is it that, you know, okay, maybe she's got other people on the show who are doing something that she doesn't necessarily control, but how do you attack the beef industry and then 5 years later or whatever it is, have a show on the best burger in America?
Yeah.
And feature, go to each place and having burgers. I don't care. Eat your meat. Do what the hell you want, but don't, what is that? What, there's no explanation. You just have that show after you've attacked the beef industry?
Well, she had, I guess it was like 5 or plus years ago, she had Howard Lyman on, who wrote the book, Mad Cowboy, all about Mad Cow and how it's really in the beef industry in the United States more than we know. And, you know, there's the whole book about Mad Cow and how when people die and they're elderly,
Alzheimer's,
they're not, yeah, people are just assuming they have Alzheimer's when, in fact, they could really have the Mad Cow. And so the book goes on and tells you why you shouldn't be eating beef. And Oprah was scared shitless by the book.
You
and so
Mad Cow,
she said on her television show years ago, I will never have another hamburger again.
Did she actually say that?
Yes.
She's fucking baddie.
But listen, so anyway, well, I'll never have another
hamburger. I'm not saying she's baddie for that. I'm saying she's baddie for then featuring a show.
Well, I'm trying to talk about
it.
So anyway, so then, you know, the beef industry sues her for millions of dollars. She has to go to Texas. It's a big deal. And she winds up winning her case. I mean, it's her opinion. If she doesn't want to have a hamburger again, that's up to her. She's welcome to say it to whoever she wants. But, you know, here it is a few years later, and they're doing her girlfriend, Gail King, does this whole show about the top 20 burgers in America, and she goes all to all these different locations and is tasting these burgers that are...
Who is this Gail King?
She's like a friend of Oprah's for years, apparently.
Have Stedman and her ever been seen in the same room?
Who, Oprah and Gail King?
No, Gail King and Stedman are actually the same person, is my thing.
No, Stedman's a real guy, but
he's a real guy, all right.
Do you know Stedman's like a self-help guy, like that Tony Robbins, Banana Fingers?
Really?
Yeah, he's like a guy like that.
Well, I'm not going to... Hey, who am I to second guess Stedman?
I don't know what their relationship... I don't care about
I don't care either. Just, you know, don't... You fucking double standards. One day you're helping the poor, the next day it's fucking John Travolta.
Yeah. Well, not only that, it's...
Give me a break.
But it's not only that. I mean, like I said, I'm all for everybody and anybody helping one another out. If you need help and Oprah's got the money and the resources, let her help. And good for it. But don't... don't tell us not to have burgers and then have, you know, an hour special with Gail King running around the country eating burgers. But I will tell you, Oprah didn't say, oh, I love those burgers. I think Oprah's still not eating burgers, but I don't know why she would do a show about burgers.
I don't know.
It is kind of, it's kind of like, it's a flip-flop.
I hate to use that term. She's out, baby. Don't have James Fry on and then pick him apart like he's a piece of shit.
Right. And
take
then,
it easy,
and then
Oprah,
show us the 20 top burgers.
Do some investigation, you know, before you have him on, if it's such a big deal. I'm sure you could have figured it out. Those facts weren't fucking buried in FBI files. You could have found out the truth about
that
story.
Yeah, exactly. And the truth of the matter is it's still
Oprah.
A good book. And the follow-up book, My Friend Leonard, is an excellent book as well. So,
what the hell?
So screw you, Oprah, except when you're helping people.
Yeah, screw you and your movie choice, Hustle and Flow. Back to Hustle and Flow.
I don't even want to talk about Hustle and Flow because
it had some good parts.
Oh, shut the fuck up. So now all of a sudden you're going to say today it's got some good parts?
Well, you didn't think Terrence Howard was a good actor?
If he was doing a Tone Loc impression, then yes, he was a fine Tone Loc impersonator.
All right, well, look now. The Hustle and Flow takes place down in...
Wait a second. Why
in
did
Memphis.
We, let's just say this. Why did you pick this movie? Because you just thought it was going to be good?
Well, see... God damn it, son of a motherfucker.
You got to stop, Dave. Your toes are everywhere.
My toes are everywhere. How the hell are you?
How the hell are you?
All right. I pick things up with my toes. Let's leave it at that.
Your toes are like midget fingers.
Don't hurt my toes.
I couldn't. You said it. I just had to really explain it.
Look, now, Pimp Terrence was happening. I like Pimp Terrence.
Dave.
Hustle and Flow took place down in Memphis, you see. Now, this is the chronicle of like a southern, black southern sort of modern day existence, you know. Sort of like Blues Cats back in the 40s, but now they're in the 2000s. Yeah, he was like a pimp, you know. He had the pimp thing down. He was pretty good. A weed dealing pimp.
I don't know any weed dealing pimps. So I don't know if he had it down or not.
I've met my share of weed dealing pimps.
Shut the fuck. You have not.
And let me tell you something
else.
You're
a white Jewish guy from Englewood, New Jersey.
I'm a white. Hey, let's not keep it close.
How the hell are you?
Let's not give too much away over here.
Oh, please.
Let's keep it a little close to the chest in terms of the card playing.
What do you mean? What was the part that I revealed too much about? White, Jewish, or Englewood?
All of the above. Now, let me tell you something.
Okay.
This goddamn pimp thing. No, I've known... Oh, well, first of all...
Yes.
The movie was true to the dialect of Southern jive.
Again, how do you know?
Because when I was a kid, my dad worked in the South Bronx, you see? And my dad had a mechanic.
Oh, okay.
Whose name was Charlie. And Charlie was from North Carolina.
Okay.
And Charlie rigged shit on the car. If you brought it to other mechanics, they'd look at you like someone had done a terrorist act on your engine. Because he would cross wires, do all this kind of crazy stuff. He would basically rig it. Okay. Now, Charlie spoke a language that was English, but you could 95% of it, you could definitely not understand. And he would just continuously... You know, he'd say some shit that was just completely out, and it had a southern twang to it, and it was complete. It was basically like the most extreme jive talking you could ever hear. Or just basically like southern black people. I don't know. Anyway, at one point in this movie, I looked at you, and I'm like, can you understand a word they're saying? And we both burst out laughing because we couldn't understand a damn thing.
It's one of my notes is I don't understand what they're saying.
But if you just turn it up a little bit more and you kind of just concentrate on it, you can start to get the flow of the words a little bit more.
Yeah, but then when you have to turn it up and then you have to concentrate, then it becomes not entertaining and it becomes like a job.
People really talk like that. I mean,
I don't believe he
had that going on. He was pretty good.
You don't think he sounded like Tone Loc?
Yeah, he did sound a little like Tone Loc.
A little?
But I like Tone Loc. See, I happen to like BET. I'll watch BET.
But why are you saying it like that? As if you're saying, I don't like BET Tone Loc.
No, I'm just saying that maybe... Oh, I also bought the first Tone Loc album, so, you know.
Who didn't?
All right. Well, I'm just saying, not just the singles. I bought the whole album, okay? Loc'd After Dark.
Okay, Dave, I don't know what you're trying to say here.
I have a high tolerance for things black.
Yeah, but by you saying that makes it sound like I don't.
No.
And that's not the case.
I didn't say that. If anything, it makes me sound like I'm some kind of weirdo.
Well, that is the case.
But I'm just saying, I like black music. I like black...
Oh, God.
Black, baby.
Did you just say I like black music?
I like the music they call funk. I like black music.
Didn't we make fun of a guy who sent me an email that said in his subject line, I like black music? Didn't we make fun of that guy?
It's true.
And now you're just like... You know, I don't even understand what you're saying.
I don't like the white music. I'm not a fan of the Pat Boone. I like the James Brown. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but I don't think... Was there ever anybody who was a fan of the Pat Boone? I mean, really? Seriously?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, I like Cameo and P-Funk more than I like Kiss and Journey. I'm not saying anyone's racist for liking one or the other more. I just happen to like black stuff. I like rap music. I got Eric B. and Rakim over here.
You like big butts and you cannot lie?
Exactly. I'm just all about things that are like that.
Okay.
I like Steely Dan, and those guys love black music.
God,
I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know what to tell you, but the truth of the matter is that I think we all like black music.
We don't all like black music.
What do you mean? Who doesn't like black music?
Some of us like Ozzy Osbourne and Metallica and think black music is weird.
No, I don't think... See, I think...
Look, when I was a kid, I had a radio. I had Disco Sucks engraved in it.
So
disco? Not everyone likes black music.
Yeah, but you know what? There's a fine line between P-Funk and disco, my friend. Chocolate City.
Well, you don't got to tell me that. Well, I know all about the line.
Well, then why are you saying disco sucks if you're kind of
Because as
supporting...
a kid, I bought into that. You see, I had a black friend, and his radio said rock sucks.
Shut up.
He did. No, and then he played for me Sugar Hill Gang in 1979, and I decided to say, what the hell is that? That's kind of cool. And before you know it, I'm into fucking Curtis Blow and Grandmaster Flash.
Which is the early, or the it's just an incarnation of disco.
No.
Anything that's danceable like that.
Disco took what was happening in the streets, baby, and commercialized it. And Curtis Blow and those cats took it back.
Do, 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 take it back.
Anyway, all I'm saying is I happen to be a fan of this. I like, you know, Boys in the Hood. I like Menace to Society. I like N.W.A. I like Ice Cube. I like all that stuff. I'm not your average white guy who doesn't know shit about that stuff. That's all I'm saying.
I would venture a guess and say that there's a lot of white people that like metal and like whatever this mysterious black music you talk about is.
That's true, and they're not just in the band Anthrax.
What? What did that come from?
Well, one of the first bands to bridge white heavy metal and rap, Anthrax.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what you were talking about. But quite frankly, if you want to...
And I know that you know
rap,
all right? I hate...
If you want to talk about heavy metal and rap, you have to go directly to Biohazard.
And I know that you have seen them and we're friends with them. I understand.
I was friendly with them.
Oh,
and they...
hey, let's not get the wrong impression.
No,
you
not
worked
that
for
way.
A radio station and you were on the scene.
Yeah, but Biohazard was like... they were kind of like Slade in that they were sing-songy metal... But they were like somewhat rapping-ish, but it was
those guys were good. Brooklyn sort of maniacs.
Yeah, and they had this one really controversial song that people were like riding over.
What was that called?
Howard Beach.
Ah.
It was like a whole thing. But Biohazard, on their first album, they actually thanked me on it.
Excellent.
On the back, and the you know, and then. I took one of my friends to go see them in Brooklyn one night, and I'm like knocking on the door at L'Amour, the rock capital of Brooklyn, and I'm like, hey, we don't have tickets, it's sold out, can I get in? And the people at the door would not go and get the band for me. And so I had stood out there with my poor friend Jay, who, rest in peace, is no longer with us, and we couldn't get in. And that was the last, I was so pissed off that...
Shunned by the hazard.
I was shunned by the door people of the hazard.
Fuckers.
Bastards. But the band themselves were great. I loved Biohazard. And it was like they were one of those bands that if you went to go see them, you had to stand in the back or you might be missing a tooth by the end of the night. I mean, there would be people walking by with teeth in their hand. My friend Jay, the one I was just talking about, he had his shoulder dislocated at a Biohazard concert. I mean, they were, you know.
Jay was over 6 feet tall.
Jay was like 6 foot. He was a huge, enormous black guy, 6'3", probably weighed about 235.
Loved heavy metal.
He loved heavy metal, and you know what else? And black music. So there goes that whole theory.
No,
people
I
can
theory.
Like both.
I know people can, and they do. Don't get me wrong.
Okay, but you were like, I wasn't like the Ozzy Osbourne Metallica guys who thought the black music was strange.
All right, let's just get one thing straight right now.
You
anyone
said
out there,
similar,
anyone yeah. out there listening, I sometimes stretch the truth. Okay,
you're an exaggerator.
These are characters that I'm playing. All right, they're based on reality, but I'm not some kind of weird, gay fearing, black hating or loving Jew, non-Jew weirdo, non-weirdo. You know, these are all characters that I may or may not be playing.
Yeah, he's kind of.
I'm very cultured over here. I've been through the whole thing.
What the hell? That's what is that, like some Archie Bunker mixed with Big A?
Oh, boy.
All right. So anyway, I'm just going to say straight up, I did not like this movie. About 15 minutes in, Dave looked at me and said, "This sucks, doesn't it?" And I said, "Yes."
I agree with that because this movie didn't start happening for me until they got a little bit more into the music. At that point, it became like somewhat comical.
So you liked that music? You
no,
liked
I didn't.
That
I didn't like the
pimp
music.
Song.
No, I thought it was pretty funny, though. You know, I was like, "This
you
is like."
Was, wait, let me tell you something.
I thought it was amusing. For me, it was amusing.
The music you thought was good, or
nope.
You thought it was funny?
The Are music you? was average. Was average for that genre.
See, I
personally,
thought it was
I thought it sucked, and it's you know that's a whole nother issue. You know, what I mean, like.
That whoop trick it, what is it? Whoop it trick? Whoop that trick? What is it? What was that song?
Whoop that trick.
Come on! And then
yo, that shit was dope, yo.
Yeah, but then they've got all the actors in the room
whooping that trick.
Whooping that trick and pretending like this is the best song ever made.
I don't know. You know, it's like, where do you want to go with this movie? Do you want to take, do you want to actually, like, review the movie? Do you want to, like, I mean.
Oh, you're talking to me?
No, I'm just
in
talking in general. Like, because, I mean, this movie, like, where do you want to go with it? Because it could raise some issues. I mean, like, they're, like, breaking into the music industry, you know, and they're, like, trying to, like, record music and stuff, and none of them are fucking musicians. Like, they don't even know how to play music. They got these samplers, and they take other people's riffs, and they pile them on top of each other, and then all of a sudden they think they have a brand new hit recording, and they start getting teary-eyed, because they're, like... You know, is it me or does it? Whatever happened to playing your instrument, you know, and playing with like four or five guys who each play their own instrument well, who have studied each individual instrument for years and taking that, you know, I mean, like, you get what you fucking pay for, man.
Well, not only that, but you know what? It really, I went into this movie thinking, okay, this guy has got an Oscar nomination. I better fucking see. A performance of a lifetime. That's what I want to do. I want to start watching this movie, and I want to be whisked away by this guy's performance.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Where do you want to go with it? You can study the actual movie, and therefore it's not really that good. You can look at like the undertones of the movie where it's coming from. Like I just tried to say how these people are not musicians, and the whole industry of rap is based on some lack of educated musicianship. All right, well,
yeah,
that's
but
my
no,
angle.
But you know what? No, because you have albums like The Chronic,
yeah.
Which is an amazing rap album.
The Chronic is some of the more musical stuff like that.
The Chronic, are you kidding me? That shit is multi-layered, and it's fun to listen to, and it's angry, and it's saying stuff. And that's, to me, good rap music. But
I hear you.
I gotta say, this movie, if this guy got an Oscar nomination, then I would be pissed off if I was Eminem. Because I think Eminem did as fine of a job in a movie that I think was, you know, much, much better. I thought 8 Mile was much better than Hustle and Flow.
Did Ice Cube get an award, or one of those cats get an award for Boys in the Hood or Menace to Society?
You know, I think those guys might have.
Because those movies
might have gotten a writing.
Those movies are much better. Both those movies are much better than this movie.
I, th- I don't, you know
the
what?
The first part of this movie was uncomfortable to watch. It was just uncomfortable. Like, I don't need it.
And it wasn't because they were setting that tone. It was just awful.
I don't need to see fucking Terrence Howard with a 15-year-old white girl. It's like, well, I don't need to see it. It's just not, it wasn't anything new. It didn't enlighten me. It was just uncomfortable. It was just like a drag. Now, and then, okay, the guy is an herb dealer, pimp herb dealer, and he gets this old guy, trades him this Casio sampler keyboard. All right? Now, the Casio sampler keyboard
looked very familiar to me.
Is something that I'm very familiar with, because that thing is like a $59 gem. I mean, it has these two little pads, and you can basically sample in about a second worth or 2 seconds worth of whatever you say into it or record. And then you can cut it up and do whatever you want with it. And you create these, I mean, you can really do some really primitive, like, rap sampling with that. Now, this motherfucker gets it, and he starts playing nursery rhymes. And I don't think he pushed the sampler button once.
Yeah, no, it was awful.
They didn't push the sampler button. That's the fucking key to that Casio sampler, is that it's a goddamn sampler.
Dave.
Fucking idiots.
Dave.
They missed the point so heavily, because you can create rap albums with that little sampler. Not just play a couple of little twinkly-dinkly chords. So, you know, that just, they totally had an opportunity to do something, and they missed the fucking point.
Well, the truth of the matter is that, you know, I saw the Casio thing, and when I used to have a cable access show in Manhattan a few years back, and there was many incarnations of that show. And one of the when I first got that show, it was a vegetarian cooking show.
Yes.
And I would be cooking in our crappy apartment on the Upper West Side, and Dave would be in the background with that Casio, and he would just be playing shit all the time. And one of the things that he had was he had it set up so it would be like da 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 cooking show. And it was just all it was, that's, and he'd have that, and he would just keep pressing it and pressing it. And that's, you know, basically when I, as soon as I saw that, I was just, it just took me right out of the movie and right back to the cooking show. And then you had the other sample of Kramer, and
he's got the Jimmy legs.
He's got the Jimmy legs.
No, she's got the Jimmy legs.
And it would be the cooking show theme, and then the Jimmy leg thing, and then so that. I couldn't pay attention to this movie, so it didn't take much for me to start thinking of other things.
And yeah, I guess, you know, my first notes were Pimp Terrence, weed dealer. And my second note was, you ever call someone and don't know when to use your real voice?
What is that?
Well, sometimes, like, I'll call a friend who I haven't spoken to, like, you know, in years, and I'll put on, like, an Indian voice or something, or some kind of crazy voice. And, then he'll put on a crazy voice. And before you know it, we're talking in these absurd voices, and it's like, it becomes like awkward to switch over into your regular voice. And you start the conversation in this kind of like weird voice, and we're talking about stuff that may not even make any sense. And then at what point do you actually switch into your real voice and say, okay, how you doing? I'm just kidding, or whatever. Sometimes
what made you think of that, though? That's what I'm interested in knowing. What part of the movie made you think of that?
I couldn't understand what they were saying. I was like, these people are talking with some funny ass voices. And I was like, if God. I called someone with that voice, I was like, and then I started thinking. So that's, you know, you got a bad movie when you can't even concentrate on the plot and you start thinking about shit like that.
Well, my first note was better as a black guy than as a white black guy, meaning he was at least somewhat enjoyed him more as this pimp character than I did as the white Uncle Tom director in Crash.
I don't think Terrence Howard is bad. I think what he's done, I think the work he's had has been less than he is.
I didn't say that he's a bad actor,
yeah, I think,
but, you know, you can only do with what you can do with.
Exactly.
And then my second note is Scientologist. As soon as I see a Scientologist in a movie.
Who was that again? Oh,
Isaac
man.
Hayes.
Chef
is a Scientologist.
That's fucked up, man.
No shit. And so as soon as I see a Scientologist, I just become deflated. And I'm like, oh, God, why are people hiring Scientologists?
This movie not only had a Scientologist, it had a pedophile.
It had a pedophile, the Anthony Anderson guy. And you know who else? It was him, and it was like the one of the producers, the guy with the last name Witherspoon. they got arrested while making this movie because they had, this is the story. This passerby was walking by one of the trailers, one of the movie trailers, and he hears a girl screaming. So he just opens, he just bravely opens the trailer door, and this little girl, I got 15, 16, comes running out of the trailer completely naked and crying.
Hey, now.
And who's in the trailer is Anthony Anderson and this Witherspoon guy. And apparently they were doing bad things to her. And the real bad thing about the story is, of course, charges were dropped, mysteriously dropped. Bum, 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 bum. You know, and the truth of the matter is, people, just because charges are dropped doesn't mean they weren't guilty. There's a big difference. It means they picked on some little girl who had no money. It's like the Gary Glitter story.
Well,
you know?
Well, I think it's different than that.
Well, they threw money at it.
No, I think Gary Glitter threw money at it before. That was part of the arrangement.
Well, yeah.
Gary Glitter
saying,
went over there and basically was like paying some fucking new extension on some Vietnamese person's house.
For $2,000-$3,000.
In exchange for their daughters.
Oh, God.
Which in Vietnam may become practice. I don't know.
Well, people go there, and they go to Thailand, and they go to all those Asian countries for pedophiles. If you hear that someone's on vacation over there, if they're not looking for their real parents, they're probably doing some nasty shit with minors.
Oh, hey, you can't go to Thailand just to check it out?
I mean,
if I said I wanted to go to Thailand, you'd think I was a pedophile?
I'd divorce you immediately.
What? Thailand's got the best food in the world, perhaps. At least Thai restaurants do. I love Thai food. By the way, if you want some good Thai food, go to the Thai House.
Where's that?
2 blocks below Canal Street, right around the corner from where Wetlands used to be.
Wetlands.
That shit is the bomb, yo.
That was a shame when they closed Wetlands.
Yeah, they closed them all down. Now they got these fucking hot houses where they play the disco music and they take the ecstasy.
Is that what they do there?
You're taking the ecstasy over there all night long doing that goddamn rap music.
Wetlands closed.
Fucking kids.
September 7th, 2001, right?
Yep. 4 days before the world ended.
Yeah. So,
where were you?
Where were you when
the world stopped turning?
Oh, that was the song. All right,
let's cash in.
So yeah, exactly. So my next note after Scientologist is I can't understand them, and that was just and when I realized that I couldn't understand them.
Would you please speak more clearly?
Well, you looked at me and you just burst out laughing because you're like, I can't understand them. And so you laughed. I started to get pissed off because once again, here I am, you know, $3.99 on pay-per-view with another movie that's sorely disappointing me. Like, another movie that Oprah was touting that's got Oscar nominations.
Yeah, whoop that trick, yo.
Exactly. I mean, come on. Awful.
Yeah, he had some flow, man. Terrence had a little bit of a flow going. I've heard worse rappers.
Yeah, K-Fed.
K-Fed. Oh, pff, K-Fed. That sounds like a bad, like, animal tranquilizer.
Maybe it is.
Yeah, hand me the K-Fed, man. I want to get high.
Oh, poor K-Fed. That guy never had a chance.
He took an overdose of K-Fed.
But, and then after that, I just, you know, I have doodling on my notebook here because I couldn't take it.
Come on, man. Give it up for Skinny Black.
I mean, come on. I mean, the whole thing. It was
What
too
is this?
Much.
How come? Why does Ludacris and Terrence Howard do two films together? What is that? Why were they both in Crash?
Maybe they're friends. But, you know, the other thing is just the names in this movie were awful.
Skinny Black.
Skinny Black?
I thought that was Skin It Back, which actually refers to a uncircumcised penis.
What? I'm editing that out.
Skin It Back.
His name was Skinny Black.
Skin It Back. It's a Little Feet song.
Oh, God.
And in the credits for the song, they say that it refers to an uncircumcised penis.
All right. Let's not have the penis mentioned again.
I'm saying, I thought they were saying Skin It Back.
No, Skinny Black. I mean, so that's an awful name. And the other thing is, did you see the footage they were showing? Like, you know, you would see Terrence Howard's character watching Skinny Black on TV. And it wasn't even, like, supposed to be a music video. It's just somehow Skinny Black had his own, like, hunting video or something. With, like, you imagine, like, Ted Nugent would have.
Yeah, it was a little bizarre.
It was ridiculous.
It was like a Skinny Black terrorist camp or something.
Yeah, but like you knew it wasn't music because you couldn't hear it.
Skinny black.
And it was just skinny black and a rifle. And it was I had no idea. There was no like bug in the corner.
Skinny black. Who conceived that idea?
Was but that, look at Terrence Howard's name.
Who, what was his name?
DJ.
Oh, DJ.
Come on. Oh God! And then I had.
What I need to know is.
Did you just burp?
No, that was part of the scratching noise. That
Dave, you burped.
What I'm saying is, who directed this movie?
Some dude.
Some dude, white or black?
Probably a white guy.
All right, I rest my case.
Yeah, it was. I don't think it was. And the other thing was, it was an MTV production. Which,
I really rest my case.
And so my other notes were pedophile, because I saw that guy and I recognized him immediately, and then big-nosed guy.
Big-nosed white guy. He's the only musical part of the rap show.
Oh, and he's so weird. And at one point, wasn't he giving some weird speech or something?
Oh, yeah. That was pretty uncomfortable.
It was uncomfortable. He was like giving, you know, how...
They all get high together and they smoke a joint together. And then all of a sudden, the white guy starts
Well, he was just giving some weird inspirational speech. You know, that part of the movie where, like, it's so cliche, where one of the groups gives a weird inspirational speech.
He was talking about how the blues and rap was so similar.
Rap is coming back home to the South.
Yeah.
Because this, man, this is where it all began. Heavy percussion, repetitive hooks, sexually suggestive lyrics, man, it's all blues, brother. It's all about pain and making music, man, with simple tools, by any means necessary. You got to get what you got to say out, because you got to. Every man, you know what I'm saying? Every man has the right to contribute a verse.
Yeah, but it was horrible. It was a horrible speech. He was shot horribly. His ears, there was like light coming in from behind his ears.
DJ
that was
Qualls.
Distracting.
His real name is DJ Qualls.
How do you know that guy's name?
Because I saw it in the credits. It said DJ Qualls.
They just know him as Big Nosed Guy. He was in that Van Wilder movie, and he was in
I knew he looked familiar.
You saw Van Wilder? National Lampoon's Van Wilder?
I've just seen this kid before.
And he was in The Core, that movie in The Core, which he's not, again, he's not bad, but...
Yeah, no, there's some good actors in the movie.
It's not that these actors are bad
actors. The acting was the least the problem, that's for sure. That was the least of the problem.
It was just uncomfortable dialogue. It was not a great story. You know, I mean, all of a sudden at the end, there's buck-bucking.
Right, let's just put it this way. The movie is so cliched and so black...
Wait a second, Wolf Blitzer.
It was so poor, so black.
What do you mean so black? You mean black?
I mean, look, this
people?
Movie is so... It was just basically like... Anytime it started getting good, it was just so far away from like... It was so ghetto. It was like so like...
See, I thought it was not good at all.
It wasn't good, but I'm just like, the things like that were good, like it was really like hard for anyone who's not part of that to relate to, I think. Like, I don't know. Either that, it was just really just like, I don't know.
I thought it was awful.
It might have been really cliched and just really like unauthentic.
And you know, the other thing
Or it was so authentic that I just can't really relate to it.
No, I don't think it was authentic. And you know what else? It's just, you know, I'm watching these movies, and I watch movies that have Oscar nominees in them, and I think to myself, okay, how can you nominate a movie that's this bad? I mean, the movie is awful, as is Crash. This movie is worse than Crash.
I think it's just completely different than Crash.
Well, no, yeah, but you know.
I think Crash is worse than this movie. I think Crash is a lot worse.
No, because you know why? This movie had people wrote music for this movie, and as if it was these songs were going to be great, and these songs are horrible.
Well, that's true. But this movie,
it was just annoying.
This movie is like, you know, this movie's not like, I don't know.
You know, it's just, I see this.
Anything that's good about this movie is going to be hard for people to relate to who aren't like the people in the movie.
People are claiming to like this movie. That's the other thing. Are people
liking
it?
Are the same people who like this, like Kill Bill? Is that the kind of guy that likes this movie? Like,
Kill Bill? Well, that's not the same kind of movie.
Yeah, but who likes this movie? Like, who likes Kill Bill? Who likes this? Like, what is that?
Well, you have your Tarantino fanboys that will always like, and fangirls that will always like anything he does.
I mean, do you like this movie because you think it's like a heavy like insight into society, into that part of society? Does this give you like an insight into people's lives? Do you think that, are you actually taking this movie seriously? Like, what makes this movie good? Why is this good? Is this like Goodfellas or something?
No, I don't think so. There's not the acting in it. I don't know. I think one person says, you know what? It's almost like the Miramax whisper campaigns. You know, these people get behind it and they start whispering campaign about how good this movie is and how, you know, how this person likes it and how that person likes it. And then it gets to the point where you start to think to yourself, well, Christ, I don't like it, but I'm not going to say it because look at all these people that like it. I mean, Miramax is famous for doing, you know, pro whisper campaigns and anti.
This is Miramax.
No, but I'm just saying it happens out there. It happens. These publicists, these public relation firms, they have their claws in everywhere. You know, that I watch some of these reviews that people give movies, and it's almost like they're not thinking for themselves, or they're just afraid to say the truth.
This movie was a cliche.
I just didn't like it. It was just
the whole between that Anthony Anderson and character and his wife, that whole tension, that thing. I mean, come on, man. Ain't we seen that before?
Just weird. And then the weird, you know, I love gospel music. I love live gospel choirs. I love listening to people who are from that genre. I love listening to it. Yet in this movie, there was a woman singing a song that was so irritating, I thought my eardrums were going to bust.
That's what I said. When I saw that, I was like, what am I seeing?
I mean, how many times have you seen...
That wasn't gospel. That was like fucking classical gospel. That was like colossal.
It was like opera.
It was colossal.
It was bad opera.
The Coffin of Bungle.
Gopra. I don't know. I didn't like this movie at all. And towards the end, you know, I was just entirely pissed off.
I was able to watch the whole thing, but I wasn't getting pissed off because, in my opinion, the worse the movie, the better the show. You know, bring on the crap. The hell.
Yeah. Anyway, I got more entertainment watching the America's Next Top Model marathon on VH1.
Scandalous?
Well, it wasn't scandalous because the girl I thought should win won, finally. But it was just... I had to watch a whole marathon to get that shitty movie out of my head. So what? Where's our list?
Prince Capia, Prince Crappian.
What?
Prince Caspian, Prince Crappian.
Prince Caspian. What's that from?
Oh, the Chronicles of Narnia.
Oh. Best part of the movie for you?
Wow! I really should have thought about this before you asked me it, man. best part of the movie was, I don't think I had a best part of the movie.
Yeah, when it was over.
No best part of the movie.
Worst part of the movie?
Very hard to understand. And, when I did understand it, it was just one cliche after another.
Yeah, I just did not. There was a scale of 1 to 10.
I give this movie a 5.
2.
Whoa.
I hated it. You give this movie a 5.
Yep.
All right. People that you don't know that you should know that are in movies. Last week you promised a big, spectacular segment this week because last week you kind of pushed that segment aside. And so this week you promised that this segment was going to... It was going to rock all of our worlds, and I'm sure that there are people out there listening to the show only for the segment entitled "People That You Don't Know That You Should Know
That
Are in Movies."
No one does.
So please, let's hear who it is this week.
This week it's.
Are you saying that this is 2 weeks in a row you have not prepared for this segment?
This week it's Steve Allen.
No, everyone knows him.
Everybody knows Steve Allen, and for good reason.
How the hell are you?
Okay, it's not Steve Allen. It's this week, it's Joey Lawrence.
No, everyone knows Joey Lawrence.
It's his brother, Joey's brother.
Everybody knows the Lawrence brothers.
Oh, okay.
And what would even make you pick them?
This week, it's the wonderful Glenn Scarpelli. It's the wonderful Glenn Scarpelli, a man from the past who was a guest when our friend of ours from the past gave him the finger.
Okay. Oh, Dave, that's such a great story, and you just completely just...
Exactly. Glenn Scarpelli, ladies and gentlemen.
Glenn Scarpelli was only in one fucking show.
I'm telling you.
It's not like... he's not...
Really? Just one show?
People that you don't know that you should know that are in movies.
Mason Reese.
What movies?
Oh, well, I thought it was just...
This is your segment.
Mason Reese.
Wait. Okay, why Mason Reese? What?
Mason Reese.
God. What? Dave.
I don't have one.
Why don't you just come out and say that instead of dragging all these poor people through the mud?
Theodore Bickel.
What? Who was that?
He's a famous actor. It's Theodore Bickel.
Who is it?
He had a goatee. He's from the 60s and 50s.
Dave, will you have a segment for us next week? Will you promise that you will have...
I will have a segment next week that you're not going to believe. It's going to be segmented.
Are you going to do production? You're going to look for clips?
Well, let's put it this way. I'm going to do pre-production.
All right. So, why don't you tell the people about DaveAndShecky.com?
I'm telling you people, this is the spot to go to. We got everything there except porn and illegal stuff. So, actually, it's very bland. No, I'm just kidding.
Dave.
Come on down to the DaveAndShecky.com because we're going to talk about some things that
need
to be discussed.
We do have a new member.
You know, it's coming down here. The last couple of years before we all blast off to the spaceship up there. So get your sneakers ready. We're going to have a convention of peppermint... what?
What are you talking about?
Get your Nike sneakers ready and we're going to have some Kool-Aid and peanut butter sandwiches and blast off to the new millennium.
We're already in the new millennium.
Oh, wait, we're not a cult? We're not some kind of suicide cult?
Okay.
Come down to DaveAndShecky.com because we're not some kind of suicide cult.
Okay, there you go. We should put that on a t-shirt. Also, I would ask, I don't even know how
what
to ask
What am I
going to
tell
this.
You?
What? It's now my turn to talk,
what do you mean?
You lunatic.
What am I going to tell you? You could meet your future husband or wife at DaveAndShecky.com. And we're not a suicide cult.
PodcastAlley.com. Please vote for us.
What do we have, 3 votes?
We have 2 votes in March.
What the fuck?
Well, it might be your craziness.
It might not be.
It might be your craziness or my harsh shrillness.
Oh, man. Come vote for us, man. It's really happening, man.
I know, we have so many subscribers, and if they all voted, we'd be the number one show. But, I think people like to listen, but they don't like us enough to vote. They don't think we should be in the top 10 at Podcast Alley. They'll listen, but they don't want to subject others, I think.
Very sorry, dude, if I'm not like fucking Beatles, like show or like, you know, Japanese anime, man. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Those are like the top shows, right? Like Beatles and Japanese anime, man.
That's Podomatic, and that is a whole different thing.
Podcast Alley's not part of Podomatic.
No.
What is this whole pod thing? What are we, like, Invasion of the Fucking Body Snatchers, dude?
Oh, my God.
What are the pods, man?
Dave,
I'm... What the hell's a pod, bro?
Dave. Pod is...
You're a pod of me.
You have iPod, podcasting. Podomatic is who hosts our show.
How about Podomai?
What?
Podomai. No, I'm just saying, why pod?
Ask Apple. They invented it.
Fucking Apple guys.
iPod.
I know you do. I do too, but why?
Okay, let's just say goodbye. And please don't say goodnight, Gracie, or something stupid like that.
Good night and have some birdie num num.
This is... No, say this is Dave.
This is birdie num num.
Say this is Dave.
Say this is Dave.
Oh, my God. Oh, God, that's harsh.
Ow, let's edit that part out.
No.
Okay, hi, this is Dave, talking to you about something very special.
Stop it! Just have say you had, this is Dave!
Have you had your Entainin?
Oh, God.
Bob's new in the neighborhood. He took Entainin. Now the neighborhood smells bad.
Just please, let's end this shit fest.
All right, for Mike the plumber and everyone else here on Wisteria Lane.
Oh my God! Oh my God! You can now all of a sudden.
It is a shit fest, ladies and gentlemen.
Just let's end it. Let's end these people's misery.
All right, hey! Don't touch that dial.
Touch it.
Bye.
This no.
What?
This is Dave.
I thought we should leave it on a good note that you just said touch it. That's always nice.
No. Oh, God.
What?
You are a foul and fetid pervert.
I'm so foul, I got the avian flu.
Okay, Dave.
What?
This is Dave.
I got the avian flu.
Dave.
Don't drink that stuff. It'll give you the
this
flu.
This is Dave.
This is Dave.
And this is Shecky. And we are Dave and Shecky's...
Avianflu.com.
Okay.
What?
I'll see you next week.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, if you give me a shot, you know, just give me a chance to get my voice heard, man. You know, I wouldn't even have words today, man.